March 12th, 2024. The time is 7:01. Could we have roll call, please, Jamie?
Yes, Mr. Hatt.
Here.
Mrs. Myers.
Here.
Mr. Van Wachanova.
Here.
Mrs. Vincent.
Here.
Mrs. Williams.
Here.
Mr. Zimmerman.
Here. Could we stand for the pledge, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Before we go, as a reminder, if you wish to address the board, the forms are back there in the back of the room on that table. And if you could fill that out and hand it to our board secretary, Jamie, that will get you where you need to be. Mr. Shaw, are there any additions or deletions from our agenda tonight?
There are none.
All right, can I have a motion?
And based upon that, I would move to adopt the agenda as presented. Support.
Roll call, please, Jamie.
Yes, Mr. Hatt.
Yes.
Mrs. Myers.
Yes.
Mr. Van Wachanova.
Yes.
Mrs. Vincent.
Yes.
Mrs. Williams.
Yes.
Mr. Zimmerman.
Yes, and the motion passes. That brings us to superintendent comments. Superintendent Shaw.
All right, thank you. So from our last board meeting, we had community comments, and I reached out to the parents that spoke in regards to all the kids that spoke and everyone in regards to the pool. You all moved forward with engineering, so I did not reach out to them because they had their needs met. The other thing that is exciting, just as a huge reminder, next Thursday night, March 21st from 6 to 8 is the Monroe Public Schools Community Kindness This Is Us Night. And there are 60 tables set up out there, and we've been invited, and hopefully you guys all got the postcard, came in the mail recently, and so we're pushing out communications, and it's just a beautiful night for everyone to really see the capabilities of Monroe Public Schools, all that we have to offer, and all that we do. And we think about all the different relationships, and so it's just going to be a night for education. So we're asking community members, staff, parents to come and learn all about it, and so that should be a good night. So that's my two comments for here.
Well, that was quick. All right. Darla, do we have any public commentary on board agenda items?
Not on agenda items. This will be at the next one.
Okay. That brings us to reports. Next is a discussion on actuary items for our reports. And we have our service contracts. Is there any discussion? Okay, hearing none. That brings us to consent agenda items. Could we get a motion?
I would move that we place on the consent agenda items A, I guess that's all we have, A, B, and C.
It would be B2-A through B2-C. Are there, I guess before you do that, I jumped a spot on you there. Are there any items that board members would like taken off of the consent agenda? Okay, go ahead with your
side. So I would renew my motion.
Yes, please.
The consent agenda be approved as recommended.
Is there support?
Support.
Could we have a roll call, please, Jamie?
Yes, Mr. Hatt.
Yes.
Mrs. Myers.
Yes.
Mr. Van Wachanova.
Yes.
Mrs. Vincent.
Yes.
Mrs. Williams.
Yes.
Mr. Zimmerman.
Yes, and the motion passes. That brings us to coaching recommendations. This is fun.
That's all done.
Oh, you're right, it is. Let's jump over here to new business.
Yeah, new business.
Oh, just
go ahead.
None of the coaches are
here. Nobody's here?
No.
All right.
So we're on new business already?
Yep, three.
Here? All right, that brings us to new business. Next on the agenda, new business.
Mr. President, I would move that we approve the adopt in resolution as presented, and I would also like to move to adopt out of the 105 opt-out resolution.
Okay.
So combine those into one, opt into the ones that we want opt out.
Is there support for that motion?
We don't have to do them separately?
No, we don't have to.
Okay.
We could if somebody wants to separate them out, but they're kind of, in my mind, they're kind of handy.
Is there support?
I'll support.
All right, any discussion?
Is that a typical way to?
No, but we always do that.
Yep.
Okay.
So to bring quick clarity, the 105C is for us to adopt into receiving students from out of county. And the 105 is we're opting out of, and that is the state program. And we're opting, and then we're taking on the Monroe County plan that's been in place since, I think it was right around 92-ish, 93. And that 90, and what the plan is very clear about is that you can do 1 year temporary releases, but then you're only having to release up to 1% of your population, which is very much different than the state level, because the state would be any applications put in front of you could go. And so Monroe County back in the early 90s when school choice came about said that there would be winners and losers in Monroe County if that was to stay that way. And we actually see it around the state of Michigan, and where people, schools will see 200-300 students leave a year. They might see 100 kids come in. You would see also in a lot of the counties where transportation, people going inside of each other's districts. So it's really for Monroe County a great program. In fact, we have counties from student superintendents from other counties that reach out going, can we see the document that was put together? And so it's a very well done. I think it was about 5 years ago, we went back and we reviewed it to make sure that it was what we wanted. And at that time, it was like 1.5% was your release number. We moved to one. And so when Larry's talking about like just putting the two together, it's been a standard practice in this district for a long time to always opt in to the 105C and opt out of the 105.
Okay, thank you.
Any other discussion? Hearing none, could we have a roll call, please, Jamie?
Yes, Mrs. Williams.
Yes.
Mrs. Vincent.
Yes.
Mr. Van Wassenova.
Yes.
Mrs. Myers.
Yes.
Mr. Heck.
Yes.
Mr. Zimmerman.
Yes, and the motion passes. That brings us to fuel dispensary purchase. Mr. Payne.
We're asking the board to approve the purchase of fuel dispensers and management system from Oscar Wilson Larson Company at a cost not to exceed $45,985.76. This purchase will be funded by the general fund. We do have Mr. Sellenbean here as well if you have any questions.
Can we get a motion?
I would move to approve the purchase of the fuel dispenser units from Larson Company at a cost not to exceeding $45,985.76.
Support?
Support.
Any discussion?
Well, obviously we need it. I mean, and we have to fix it one time or the other. We don't have a lot of options here. We could either do this or be in violation of the state codes, and I don't think we want to do that because then we'd have no buses.
I think those units are... they've lived their life. They at least have to be 30 years old. Yeah. Any other discussion? Hearing none, roll call, please, Jamie.
Yes, Mrs. Williams.
Yes.
Mrs. Vincent.
Yes.
Mr. Van Wassenova.
Yes.
Mrs. Myers.
Yes.
Mr. Heck.
Yes.
Mr. Zimmerman.
Yes, and the motion passes. That brings us to administration building warehouse heating. Mr. Payne.
Thank you, President Zimmerman. We're asking the board to approve the purchase for $17,200 from Thompson Plumbing and Heating at a install for the administration building warehouse. Money for this installation will come from site sinking funds. And I'd be happy to answer any questions on that as well.
Can I get a motion?
I move to accept the bid of $17,200 from Thompson Plumbing and Heating to install heating in the administration building warehouse, and the installation will come from site sinking funds.
Support?
Support.
Any discussion?
A couple of questions, Dave, and I apologize. I should have asked him last night, but there's currently no heating in that warehouse?
There is heating. It's just outdated. We can't get parts, and it does leak. So Tim and I both use that to store equipment. So we've been putting tarps and kind of protecting it during the season. So it's time that we need to replace it.
And what type of heating system is this going in?
Tim, it's like a radiant heat, but Tim can answer
that. It's like an IR?
You've seen these, I'm sure, in barns, Tom. Yeah. It's a radiant tube heat.
Okay.
So it's like your furnace laid out under the ceiling.
Yeah.
This big tube is getting compromised. When that happens, just like your heat exchanger on your furnace, when it starts getting compromised or leaks, you can release CO2. Okay. You also get the moisture and the condensate that comes, which has Dave tarping his lots of dollars in inventory and technology and the stuff that we store. So we luckily, like I said, Patty got three bids for a fuel system for $50,000, and these ranged from 17.2 to 46. But we're very confident in Thompson. They've done lots of jobs for us. I think it's a sign of the times that Andy and I spoke about. They just probably aren't as busy as some of the other big hitters in town, but we're very confident in making the recommendation for them to replace it for us.
Okay, thanks.
And those units are probably, again, 35 plus?
Certainly, yeah. And the company, don't quote me on the name right now, but it's, you can't even buy, because, you know, we would have, we have repaired through the years and kept them going, and now we're to where, again, you can't procure.
You guys have done a good job with them.
Thank you.
Any other discussion? Roll call, please, Jamie.
Yes, Mr. Heck.
Yes.
Mrs. Myers.
Yes.
Mr. Van Wachanova.
Yes.
Mrs. Vincent.
Yes.
Mrs. Williams.
Yes.
Mr. Zimmerman.
Yes, and the motion passes. That brings us to the Sex Ed Advisory Committee recommendation. Mr. Belanopsi.
Thank you, Mr. President. We ask the board to move to approve the communicable diseases slides for grades 4 to 6 and the HIV/AIDS video for grades 7 to 12.
Can I get a motion?
I move to approve the communicable disease slides for grade 6 and the HIV/AIDS video for grades 7 through 12.
Support?
Support.
Any discussion? I believe you were on the committee, correct, Darla?
Darla was, yeah.
I was. I made the motion for grade 6, yes.
So you're changing what is here on the page?
So we're required to read the motion as it's written?
No.
You can read it. Anyway.
I'm just trying to answer the question.
No, so your motion, so I want to make sure everybody understands your motion, is you don't want to do it for grades 4 through 6. You only want to do it for grade 6.
My motion is for grade 6 on the communicable disease slides and 7 through 12 for the HIV/AIDS videos, correct?
Okay.
May I ask why?
When we discussed what the state requirements is, and I brought this up when this was discussed during the work session, and I brought it up during the sex ed the committee as well. And it says that you have to do it in elementary school. And so the growth videos that are shown for both sexes at grade 6. And so to me, it made sense to show this video at grade 6 when they're being at that level, because these slides lead to further conversations that they haven't even had yet, even at the school level. So to me, it makes sense that to do it at age 6 meets the state requirement and fulfills what it is.
Did the rest of the committee share your feelings that it should only be grade 6, or did the rest of the committee think that it should be 4th, 5th, and 6th grade for the communicable diseases slides?
Well, the committee makes recommendations, and then it's up to us to decide what those recommendations are. And during that conversation, David would be able to tell us exactly what the wording was when we put it forward, but it wasn't written down, so I'm not quite sure. I think the thought was it was 4 to 6, but even during that, there was further conversations. And then there was a conversation after that about another meeting being held, a subcommittee meeting. I think John Ray mentioned it. And to what that entails.
So the slides were taken to the SEEB committee and then presented to the board for 4 to 6 approval. Through further discussion, we have found out that we have been delivering them in the 5th grade at the elementary level. That's what has been done in the past. So that's
new information.
And we only have to do it
once
in elementary, right?
Once in
so
elementary.
Would
suffice,
it.
Yes.
I mean, you spend a lot of time on it, Darryl, so I'm going to go with your whatever you're suggesting. If you're suggesting 6, that's fine with me.
There was a support on this, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
That's why we're in discussions. I guess.
It's always been done at the 5th grade level. Sorry. It's always been done at the 5th grade level. Why are we suggesting switching it now?
Well, it's only been since I made this motion that it's been highlighted that it's been at 5th grade. But I still intend on keeping my motions on the floor. So that was the first time I heard that, Carrie.
Was it ever done in fourth grade? I don't remember that, Dave. Was it?
Terry would be able to speak better to that, but I know that, you know, talking with our nurses and going back in time, it's been the communicable diseases slides have been done at the fifth grade to satisfy that elementary level requirement.
Not the fourth, just
correct.
Is that right, Terry?
I do not know of any presentation of communicable diseases at fourth grade.
And at sixth grade, though, that we would fulfill the state requirements as far as what we have to.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Any more discussion?
And there's nothing that would prevent us from making that presentation to everyone in the sixth grade, was there? Or were there?
No.
Okay.
And then are these committee recommendations reevaluated each year then?
Yes.
Okay. As long as you're confident that we can make sure that every sixth grader is able to see these by the end of the year, that we fulfill our obligations to the state.
Wait, what do you, I'm not sure what
because
you're saying.
Because if we're expected to have our elementary students see the communicable disease slides, right?
Yeah, but it's been that way forever. And so since we started school in September, that hasn't been a requirement since we started in September. So this isn't like we're starting something new. This is new slides for something that's already been in place.
Okay.
No,
as long as we're confident, that's all.
What so parents do have the opportunity to opt their child out
right.
of seeing those, so we couldn't guarantee that every single child would do
oh,
that
no,
as the
that's
parent
that's not what I'm saying.
Right.
What I'm saying is, as long as we as an educational institution can do what we are expected to do when it comes to communicable diseases education for elementary students with what we are doing, I just don't want us to put ourselves in a predicament coming down the road by restricting the grade levels that we are approving these for.
We're not restricting. We're making a recommendation based on, you know, the state requirement. I don't see a restriction if all students get it at the elementary level per state requirement. I don't know what we're restricting. Well, I would have to understand that.
Well, instead of approving it for fourth to sixth grade, you're just saying sixth.
But if they get it in fourth grade, they won't get it in fifth and sixth grade. They're only going to get it once. It's not like they're going to get it every year. It's only one time.
I understand.
Okay.
But am I misunderstanding? If we're only approving it for sixth grade, we're saying we're only going to show it to sixth grade, right?
Right.
So, like, we're saying we're not going to show it to fourth grade and we're not going to show it to fifth grade.
It would not be approved to show at those grades until the board takes additional action. Yes.
So in my eyes, that would be the restriction.
So there's a motion on the table, you know.
I know, and we're at the discussion moment right now, and I'm discussing.
Okay.
David, I have one question for you, if I may ask. This is your recommendation, the 4 through 6, correct?
It was the nurses who would be delivering the lessons. It was the SEB committees, and that was the recommendation that the SEB committee, that was our intent during that workshop. Yes.
But I think we should look at the total makeup of who is in that committee. It's not just who the voting members are, because there are multiple stakeholders involved in that. And so, again, that is any committee meeting, as we know, that's held as a recommendation. We can choose to go with the recommendation. We can make it more restrictive. We can make it more.
Well, we understand that.
Okay. I'm just.
My question for David is then, what was the reasoning behind that they wanted 4 through 6? I guess maybe I didn't ask the right question.
That I believe it's that the SEB committee and the nurses who drafted those communicable diseases slides believe that those slides are appropriate for that grade span to be delivered anywhere from 4 to 6th grade to fulfill that state requirement.
Thank you, sir. But any other discussion?
I guess the question is, but it only gets presented once to the student?
Yes.
So how do you guarantee they don't They get it in fourth, then they get it again fifth, and they get it in sixth.
That's a great question. Obviously, I couldn't speak clear to that at the work session, but we offer it one time, or in the past, we've offered it one time, and that's been in the fifth grade to stay consistent. Communicable diseases slides in fifth grade. The middle school requirement is the AIDS HIV video is shown in seventh grade, and then high school health credit.
Okay, if I understood you correctly, in the past, it was only offered in fifth grade.
Correct.
Okay, so now we're just saying we're going to offer it only in sixth grade.
Yep, so we're changing what we've done historically.
But just moving it to a little older group probably makes sense. Okay.
No, I mean, I trust her because I know she did a lot of research and she checked all these out. And if you think six more appropriate.
I just want to remind everybody that it wasn't until after I made the motion that it was made aware to anybody on this panel that it was shown in fifth grade exclusively. That was the first time I heard that along with all of you. And so the motion on the floor.
We have a roll call, please, Jamie.
Can I have just one more question?
Oh, sure. Yep.
Just one more question. So if fifth graders received this curriculum, this lesson last year, and then we're going to give them this same but new slides lesson this year in sixth grade, we've given that group of students the same-ish lesson for 2 years, but where we could have been instructing this lesson for fourth or fifth graders instead?
Correct.
Okay.
But it would only have been ever given once. Right.
Yes.
Yes.
Did I get your question answered, Carrie? Roll call, please, Jamie.
Yes, Mrs. Williams.
No.
Mrs. Vincent.
No.
Mr. Van Wassenova.
Yes.
Mrs. Myers.
Yes.
Mr. Heck.
Yes.
Mr. Zimmerman.
No. We're done with our motion.
Yep. No, it was a tie. So let's go ahead now.
Okay. All right, that brings us to motion for reinstatement. Mr. Malalepsi.
Yes, Mr. President, we ask the board to consider the recommendation of the committee to approve the conditional reinstatement of student A and move to accept the recommendation of the committee for conditional reinstatement, or move to reject the recommendation of the committee and fully reinstate student A, or move to reject the recommendation of the committee and deny reinstatement of student A.
I would move to follow the recommendation of the committee.
Support?
Support. Oops, sorry.
Any discussion? Hearing none, roll call, please, Jamie.
Yes, Mr. Heck.
Yes.
Mrs. Myers.
Yes.
Mr. Van Wassenova.
Yes.
Mrs. Vincent.
Yes.
Mrs. Williams.
Yes.
Mr. Zimmerman.
Yes, and the motion passes. That brings us to, we have no old business, so I will turn it over to Superintendent Shaw for a second round of superintendent comments.
So as all of you remember, Leah was in here. We're getting ready to send our kids off to competitions. And so we have national qualifiers. So an outstanding group of 14 young men and women represented Monroe High School at the Business Professionals of America State Leadership Conference. Three of our students placed in the top of their respective events, qualifying them for the National Leadership Conference in Chicago this May. Congratulations to Victoria Blanerez, sixth place, intermediate word processing, Morgan McLeod, fifth place, fundamentals of word processing, and Rebecca Pace, third place, interview skills. Spring play is about to come upon us. It begins this Friday at Monroe High School, and it is Clue is our play this year. The production is under the direction of language arts teacher Jeremy Kimberlin and runs March 5th 15th through the 17th. Showtimes are 7 p.m. on Friday and Saturday and 2 p.m. on Sunday. Tickets are at the door. And then March is National Reading Month, everybody. And so it's an exciting month around all of our buildings and everything that our students are doing. And so it's always a wonderful month there. And then lastly, Wednesday, March 20th is a half day of students with teacher professional development in the afternoon. And then spring break begins March 23rd, and I will say this, as I've told other groups, it's hard getting used to March with spring break being the last week because March has been a blur. If you think about that, next week is at the end of it, we're on spring break. And, you know, for all of us that have been a part of it, always being like that first week of April, roughly, it's a whole new world because usually March is, it drags and people are exhausted and all of a sudden we're going, oh, we don't have enough time, we don't have enough time. So it's exciting there. So that's all I have for tonight for my comments, sir.
Darla, do we have public commentary?
Yes, we do. So public commentary is 3 minutes long, and when I call you up, I will give you countdown as to how much time you have remaining. We don't answer to your questions now, but we'll get back to you, okay? So the first one up is Allison Elliott. And it'll start when you start. Timer.
First thing, March 20th, is it a half day or a two-hour delay? My calendar at school has a two-hour delay down.
It's a two-hour delay.
Did I read it wrong?
I don't think he read it wrong. I think I gave it to him wrong, so I'm the guilty party.
Okay.
It's
a
two-hour delay.
All right.
Sorry about that.
No. I just want to make sure I communicate with my students correctly. I'm Allison Elliott. I am the science teacher at Orchard Center High School. I am a mom to three students. Christopher is a sophomore in high school, Devin is an eighth grader at the middle school, and my baby Elizabeth is fourth grade at Raisinville. And we're very, very excited because this April we have a total solar eclipse. We are 99.8% covered, 20 minutes drive to Luna Pier. You are in totality. Now, I'm going to show my age for a moment. Back May 10th, 1994, we had an eclipse follow almost the same path. I remember standing outside with my physics teacher doing the experiment, doing a pinhole camera, and it was the most awesome experience. Being able to stand, we weren't in totality, and we were able to do some activities. However, this one, it starts just as Orchard Center is leaving and we'll hit peak around 3:15 with it continuing on. So most of our students will either be in transportation or in school. And I feel that this is going to really hinder this once in a lifetime opportunity. Our next one that goes across the nation like this is not going to be until 2045, and that's going to be the lower half of the United States. So I'm begging you guys, please follow Bedford and make this a half day. Make April 8th a half day so we are able to enjoy this opportunity with our students, our kids. We can share this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. And, of course, me as a science teacher, I'm seriously geeking out about it. I was talking to my mom on the way, and she's like, if you speak half as passionately, and I was like, it's going to be a total solar eclipse. We can go down. We can see the beads, we can get the solar glasses. So please, I'm just asking that you make this, consider this a half day, and allow us to spend the time with our kids for this once in a lifetime. Thank you.
I normally don't comment upon comments because I don't have that right. Would you accept if we extended the day 3 more hours? Just wondering.
No, I think I would rather have the half time.
Thank you, Allison. Appreciate it. Yvonne? I think you got it, right? The process.
Oh, yeah. When I was looking at the agenda online, I looked at this sex ed thing, and I noticed that it talked about transmission of HIV, AIDS, and I didn't see any mention of sexual transmission, and I was under the understanding that that's one of the major ways that it's transmitted, and I didn't know if you just didn't have room in that agenda to show all that or if that's not taught. So that's my question, and I'm happy to hear from Mrs. Elliott about the solar eclipse. My daughter is getting sick of these half days with her two kids in school, but I think this is something that kids would benefit from. Thanks.
Thanks, Yvonne. Larry, that concludes public comments.
All right, that brings us, is there any board commentary tonight?
I just want to make mention of, I know Mary's brought this up, and I think it was a great idea, the to-do list, to keep track of things that we were looking to follow up on and to stay on track with. So I wanted to make mention of that. And sorry if I stole your thunder there, Mary. I don't mean to not to. And on that, I have a few things here that I think I would like to include on there that we can either go over now or we can go over later at the next work session. The other thing I wanted to mention is I don't know where we're at with that first vehicle contract, and I don't know where we're at in the thing, but I did forget to mention and made note that I did see the RFP that was in the public notice, and it is that the same thing? Is that RFP for fleet maintenance?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
That'll be in your board briefs.
Sorry, Daryl, go ahead.
No. Anyone else? All right, that concludes our agenda for this evening. Our next regular Board of Education meeting will be held on Tuesday, April 9th. Wow, that sounds weird. 2024. It will begin at 7 p.m. We'll have a workshop prior to that right here in the boardroom at 5:30. Can I get a motion to adjourn? Support? Show of hands. At 7:33, this meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.